This is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and with me is Kim B. Miller. She's going to wake you up and make you happy. Here's Kim.
Thank you so much, Grace. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to start off with a poem because it is about poetry. And the name of this poem is called Getting Married. The love you seek is not here. I can't offer inner peace to you. It's not mine to give. I'm not your savior. Your prayers don't come to me. I'm not your everything, for that would make you nothing. I cannot create a receptacle of hope and implant it in you. I can cultivate it, but I can't initiate it. Perfuming my ears with lustful words is not love. Joy does not start and end on my lips. Happiness is not a fix delivered in doses, and I cannot be your drug dealer. No one can sustain that. Love starts within. But you can't dip into that hollow shell and scrape love out. You've been listening to wrong so long, when right is quoted, you don't even recognize it. This union is supposed to be between two that have become one. Love can't be drained. It needs to flow. Don't blame me for your lack of love. That vessel was empty before I picked it up. You thought a ring would solve this? Jewelry does not penetrate the soul. The echo, co, you hear reverberating from your emptiness is yours. Your inner prison has convicted you. Love was not taken from you. You never had it. Love only needs one companion to exist, you, but you want me to resuscitate it, bringing love back into your flesh, absorbing it like air. Love me without extending your legs. You are not the sum of your parts. I know your life's picture was not painted with perfect strokes, yet you are the one I want. My eternity rests with you, but not like this. I am not so consumed by you that I don't see you, grasp you. This transfusion ends today. You're standing right in front of me, yet I miss you. You cannot find every answer from your heart and my soul. Why don't you insist on being a painting of a picture of a drawing of a reflection of a possible you? I'm looking for the king of my throne, not the back of my heel. Look through your heartache and see what stands before you. True love with her hand open, waiting for you to grab it.
Kim B. Miller, why didn't I know that poem years ago? And you have wakened me up. I'm so happy to be with you. What energy you have.
Thank you.
Tell us about that poem.
That poem is about two people considering getting married and they think the ring is going to solve everything. They're trying to, you know, the ring is everything. You know, like you walking across a piece of floor is going to solve everything that happened before that or every disagreement you had before that. Like marriage is the answer to everything and it is not. You either two people or you're not.
So much truth in that. So much truth. Kim B. Miller is the poet laureate of Manassas, Virginia and Manassas Park, Virginia, and is originally from New York, but she's been a Virginian for quite some time. What do you do as poet laureate?
Well, that's a good question. And the longer title is Prince William County Poet Laureate, Manassas and Manassas Park, Virginia. It's a long one.
That's right. Prince William is a big county. I forgot that. Right.
No worries. So what I do is I go into areas that people think they know poetry. And you and I have been very familiar with this. We'll go someplace and everybody goes, roses are red. And I'm like, that is poetry. It is. But poetry has expanded. It's grown. It's beautiful. It's so many things. It rhymes. It doesn't rhyme. It's short. It's super long. So I go places where they think they know exactly what poetry is. and then change their mind totally up. I go into schools and teach haiku and different forms of writing, imagery, so that your words can really come to life. I go and perform it from the different ages. I don't say older. I say forever young, because everybody needs the reminder that poetry is freeing. Poetry is life. Poetry is an art form that is often overlooked. So I go places and show people that poetry is bigger than what you think it is. And writing is therapy, is healing, is so many things. And when people argue with me about that, I normally say, did you have a diary growing up? What did you write for? It's just paper.
Kimby Miller, you're a change maker. You change the idea of marriage. You change the idea of poetry. You go in and change people. And what I just learned about you is that you conduct parenting classes in your area, which is maybe it does mesh with being a poet, but what do you hope to achieve? And what do you think you have?
I consider, and I tell everybody in parenting class, I just tell them I'm a poet. They don't know I'm a poet laureate. And I just tell them that if I get to poetry, I'll break it down later. Because sometimes I'll go really highbrow poetry. I'm like, okay, I went too far. Let me bring it down. So what I tell them is a parent is a pebble. And the parent is a pebble in the water. And when you throw the parent or the pebble in the water, it creates ripples. So if you get a parent together thinking differently, more compassionate, more thoughtful, that ripple will go out to their kids, their grandkids, their friends, everybody that surrounds them. The parent is the pebble. If you address the pebble, you can address a whole community.
So you use metaphor. Mm-hmm. You use metaphor to teach. And do you think that people come in because they're in trouble or they're going, why do they come to you? Why do they join the group?
Well, this is initiated for Prince William County, and people come for different reasons. But I think I tell people every class, because, you know, for some reason, parenting has this stigma. Parenting class? Why are you going to parenting class? And I said, well, you know, I give this analogy. I say, you have Surgeon A. Surgeon A is going to operate on you. He's going to wing it. He studied it a while ago, but he's just going to wing it. He thinks he's good. Surgeon B, he is going to go get a refresher course because, hey, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Which one would you want operating on you? Everybody goes B. Well, what is wrong with a parent getting sharpening their skills? What is wrong with them getting more information to be better than they were yesterday?
Oh, so, I love it. I truly love it. I do. I do. And how often do you do this? Is it a monthly or a weekly or what?
What they have is they have a couple of different sessions. Right now I'm doing teenage groups. So that one is 3 weeks or 8 weeks. So it's different times throughout the month. So it's three at a time or 8 weeks at a time.
We need you, Kim. We need you on every level. And we now need you as a poet. I want everyone to know that she's widely published and she has performed at the National Black Theater. I can think of that. And mm-hmm. then she was at the Atlantis Performing Arts Center and the Northern Virginia Community College, the University of Pikeville, many other places. She's been on radio. She's widely published. And today she's ours. And the thing which interests most people that know you is your use of the haiku. Now, the Japanese form is used by many of us many different ways. But you have owned it as a Kim B. Miller haiku. So tell us about... Read us some haiku, and then tell us about your haiku drop after that.
Okay. So I always like to do just a really super brief explanation of what a haiku is, because a lot of people don't know. So as Grace just explained, haiku is a super short Japanese poem. The original haiku is only on nature. 3 lines, 17 syllables. Japanese poetry also included something called a senryu, which is the same format, 3 lines, 17 syllables, but that one could be on any subject. So you have a haiku only on nature and a senryu on any subject. In the performing poetry world, we call them both haiku, just like you call a palm and an oak both a tree. We know when you hear it, if it's only on nature, you'll know it's a haiku, and if it's not, it's a senryu, but we call them both haiku. So anyway, and I say haiku before each one. It's not necessary, it's just I'm extra.
We don't pay more for that one.
Okay, exactly. Haiku. You cannot divide yourself into fractions to make someone else whole. Haiku. Math ain't hard. Division can multiply hate if you add ignorance. Haiku. Strong women are not unbreakable. We just know you ain't the hammer. Haiku. Stop asking fools for wisdom. You don't see lions asking sheep nothing. Haiku. It's okay to be scared. Do it anyway. Scared people succeed too. Haiku. They thought they broke you, but you're a glow stick. They just exposed your light.
Kim B. Miller, I bow to your wisdom. What is the haiku drop?
Haiku drop is my monthly newsletter, if you want to call it that, monthly fun sheet that I send out monthly for those who have signed up for it that has haiku on it. Haiku I haven't posted, or maybe one I've posted and four new one. They get to see them before everybody else does.
So do you write new ones? Do you try to write new ones every month?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And is it hard, or is it just something like all day you percolate and be incubating something, and like you're always in touch to do this?
That's a good question. When I first started, it was more hard. It was like, to be honest, I was never going to write haiku. Most people are really surprised to hear that. And the reason why, I was a free writer. I liked writing. I just liked full poems, and haiku was too structured for me. How am I going to get my point in 17 syllables? It was a challenge. So I went to the challenge and said, okay, so now I love it. As far as writing them now, they're pretty fluent. The only time I may have a hesitation or not finish it is when I challenge myself to write on a particular subject. Like say I have an event coming up and I want to write on this. That may take me a little longer. But writing haiku in general, normally pretty much flow. I may have to cut it down because I wrote one too long, but normally it goes pretty good.
But it takes a person observing human behavior every minute, because you're really making commentaries on what it's like to be human and our foibles. And that takes noticing, just like the haiku in nature takes noticing. I think it's really a fascinating structure, especially for you, because you have such a large personality. It just fills that little form up so well.
Thank you.
I want some people to hear a different kind of poem from you. Mm-hmm. And I want everyone also to know that you were featured on a Voice of America documentary. So how did that happen, and how do we get a hold of it?
Yes. So there's a couple places you can watch it. You can watch it on my YouTube channel, and you can, of course, watch it on their website. And they reached out to me and said, you know, we are interested in doing a documentary on you. And I'm going to be honest, because there's so many scammers in the world. I was like, uh-huh. Sure you do. But then I looked her up. I'm like, oh, she's legit. So I called her back and emailed her back. And I said, I would love to. She sent me samples of previous ones that she produced and the cameraman recorded. And I thought they were very well done. So I said, absolutely. So we spent months.
Months
shadowing and, you know, picking video, because it's months worth of video. And I know it's only condensed down to 8 minutes, but that's months worth of research and shows and commentary and things that they were able to really do a really nice documentary on.
I am so glad somebody caught you in midair, and don't know how they compressed you to 8 minutes, but we'll be looking on your YouTube, and we'll say YouTube Kim B. Miller on your website.
The link to it is on my website.
Okay.
The YouTube link, of course, is a little bit more diverse. I couldn't get my name on it yet, but I will.
And so you got your name on us. So give us some poems. Kim B. Miller, I'm Grace Cavalieri. We're at the Library of Congress on remote.
And this one is called My Song. And it is not my song, by the way. But it is somebody's. There is a song that only I know. You can't hear it. My song is wrapped in baggage. Baggage. It's not a lullaby. It is hateful and cruel. I wrote the lyrics. No one else could write them because you don't know me. I'm not what you see. Don't let the reflection that I allow to seep out persuade you. This is a painting of me, not an echo of my soul. I'm not strong and brave. I'm underwater gasping for air. Don't you know I've always lived there? You have never seen me because I'm beneath you. I am not you. Stop making me try to be phenomenal. Everybody can't be amazing. Some of us are not destined for greatness. My acceptance of that sustains me. You want to feed me hope? I've already regurgitated hope. So love can't live here. I won't let it. This is my song, my internal dialogue. I wrote down every note. I know the words. I am useless. I am nothing. I shouldn't even be inhabiting the same space as you. I wrote it down just like you said, Mama. I didn't forget a single note. Don't worry. You don't have to sing it anymore. I got it now. I will not let you down. I will be exactly what you said. I have embodied your words. I am so insignificant. I am indistinguishable from the background. I am fading away. Fading away. Oh, has my melody left you silent? Don't burden yourselves absorbed in me. Focus on the ones entangled in your lyrics. All of you wrote songs for your children. They are rehearsing it now. What lyrics did you donate? Your legacy is your words. You are the author. You are the author. They just can't see you. They only see what they are not. That's their song. Can you stop singing it? Can you stop singing it? Can you stop singing it?
I am stunned by that poem. That is, the body does not lie. I am really stunned by that poem. The power and the honesty of it and the courage of it. I hope you read that to your parenting classes.
I should, and my mom has read it. She's like, okay, do you tell them it's not me? And you're, yes, Mom, I tell them it's not you. You know, because when you're involved in a lot of parenting and stuff, you hear so many horror stories and from family and friends. And that was one of those that I wrote because of that. I have been blessed to have two phenomenal parents, but I know way too many people who did not.
Yeah, that's the story you're telling us, that words matter. Mm-hmm. And that what if you tell someone what they are, they'll say, okay, to make you happy, I'll be that. Mm-hmm. So that is the power of that poem. And it's really, I think it's so painful and disturbing because it's so true. And so you see it every day.
Yes.
You know, you do see, with all of the knowledge we have, you can't walk across the street without seeing somebody putting a child down, and you kind of want to interfere, but you're interfering in a good way, Kim.
So
interfere some more and give us another poem. Kim B. Miller.
Absolutely. Now, this one is called, you know, as poets, we always argue which one to do, but I think I'm going to do this one called The System. I am not broken. I am drained. The ocean is washing pain into my fragile soul. I'm bleeding from separation, from family, from people whose blood runs through my pain. As I play life, I wonder which family domino will fall next, knocking down another as they're tipped into obscurity. Swimming with one stroke, holding on by a thread, I look for answers to why. Why aren't you here? Why aren't I enough? Why am I stuck in a system that causes more problems than it solves? Why is the innocent placed in homes while the guilty go free? Issues float to the surface. The water is muddied with pain. Separation is not drowning. Float until your consciousness appears before you. We're all in the water, clinging to our own baggage, dripping biases. Open your ears to another perspective. Compassion is your life jacket. Empathy is your air. Why keep adding tears to an ocean of agony? Blame infusing opinions, fear hidden in truth. I feel invisible. I live in between their blinks, hidden from view. My family with broken pieces is still a family. Division does not subtract love. No more shame, no more silent truths, no more hiding. Secrets can't hide. Every drop of truth should feel like a hug and taste like promises. Don't add seasoning. Truth is best served raw with a side of integrity. They could not rescue me. They couldn't even swim themselves.
This is the way it is.
Absolutely.
And Kim is not afraid to be that poet. So let's have another.
Absolutely. So this one, I always say this before it because.
Uh-oh.
This is not one of my traditional ones, but I wrote it and I actually fell in love with it after. You know, we as poets, you know, we know what Grace knows what I'm talking about. We'll write something to be not traditionally what we normally write, but then we're like, eh, and then later like, yeah, and then later like, eh. So anyway, I fell in love with it now. So this one is called Fear. I slipped away. I dropped fear off. I don't think it needs me. I was always polite. I made it feel comfortable, but I'm sick of the sofa bed. It is not comfortable. I don't know how I was so unbothered. No pre-existing excuses were planted in my indecisiveness. This is my garden. I only planted non-confrontational seeds. I just felt like using genetically modified reasons. I escaped though. I'm good now. When I slipped away, you just can't drop fear off and be okay, right? I needed a plan for my plan to follow so I could stay focused while looking away. You know how hard it is to say goodbye. Goodbyes are not my problem though. It's the loss of a flavor that used to dominate every meal. That's what I miss. It's like pre-season defeat, but that doesn't matter now. I'm not going back. Do you think I should go back? I'm just kidding. I don't need fear. I can get so much done now. I've eradicated my restriction. No more fear. I wonder what fear is doing. Maybe I should know. I am not going back. Not this time. I have a right to a life. Fear looks at me and says, are you done rehearsing? I say yes. It must be time to eat. What's on the menu? Defeat with roasted promises on a bed of lies, served with an empty glass of opportunities.
Good last line. In one of your poems, you say, everybody can't be amazing, but Kim, some of you are. Let's have a final poem.
Absolutely. So I wrote this one because it's a common question that poets get, and it is, you know, what is poetry? So I was trying to decide my meaning for it, and this is what I came up with, and some poets agree with me, so hopefully I did a good job. Name of it is Poetry Is. Remember when you thought words had to be in a melody to sing to you? Poetry was a foreign flavor, and acquired taste. You thought poems like Roses Are Red made you well-read. You didn't realize poetry has blossomed. I don't blame you. Poetry is often unrecognizable, spoken with passion and whispered, written on hearts in invisible ink. So how can I expect you to embrace the unseen? Seen in many forms, but grouped together as one. What is poetry? Poetry is unsolicited help. It holds us up when pain tries to erase our voice. It allows us to pour into emptiness and create peace. The ingredients in one poem could feed people who didn't even know they were hungry. Poets make feelings tangible. They script mountains into pebbles. Poetic verses feel like the wind caresses every syllable. Some poems rhyme, no reason. They almost have a subtle fragrance, an undeniable scent that is both unexpected but welcome. This garden of poets is stunning and diverse. Each poet's pen bleeds an alternate personal truth. So don't judge your ink by its color. There are no rules. The lines in paper are just suggestions. Besides, a poet's words ascend from a limitation of paper. They make tears flow. They break stereotypes. Poems are medicinal, and poetry is freedom exhaling. Words are not owned, we all just borrow them. Poetry is rented words meant to make a permanent change. The next time you inhale the aroma of a poem, feel the words and embrace the energy they provide. Embrace unconfinable art drawn with words. Poetry is expression flowered with feelings. It could be a moment or a lifetime of moments. What is poetry? Poetry is the first time you kiss words, and words kiss you back.
Kim B. Miller's new book is My Poetry is the Beauty You Overlook. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. Funders are Snippet Fund, Sandeek Jackson Cohen, and the Anne Arundel Arts Council. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and our engineer is Mike Turpin.